Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Business Positioning Strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, such as the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, India, all across Europe and the UK. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and never miss an episode. You can also talk to the guests that I bring on the show. I ask that you subscribe to the show wherever it is that you're comfortable listening to podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Himalaya app, and the Google Play Music app. Please subscribe to Life Transformation Radio right now, wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. On the show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who are amazing people and are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any question for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, you can call us up and ask your question at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my guest for today, Mark Stevenson. Mark, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Thanks, Sean. I really appreciate that.
I'm super pumped to have you on the show for many reasons. You are a brilliant man. I've listened to your show. We've had conversations prior to this show, and I love what you're doing. And I don't think it's an accident that we're sitting here today in this very moment, because about a month ago, back in May, I started a custom affirmation and empowerment clothing line. And then all of a sudden, you had messaged me, or I messaged you, one of the two, but we had got connected, had a quick conversation. And I was like, no kidding. You're like, check out the show. I remember I was like, check out the show. I'm like, okay, I'm going to check it out. And I listened to a couple and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, this is so, like, the doors are just opening, right? I'm like, this is amazing. And so I'm going to dive into that about your podcast and about the marketing and all that stuff. But I just want to say how you know, excellent the stuff is that you're putting out in the content.
Man, I really appreciate that. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to be quiet for the rest of the show while you say things like that about me. I really appreciate the external validation there. Thanks.
No problem. No problem whatsoever. So the title of this episode is Marketing and Custom Apparel Startups with podcaster and marketer Mark Stevenson, digital marketing pro, pay-per-click advertising teacher and podcaster. Mark is a 30-year sales and marketing veteran that specializes in working with small and mid-sized business owners. As the director of marketing for Coldesi Inc., Mark has produced hundreds of hours of video content, managed Google, Facebook advertising, and written a popular ebook on the custom t-shirt. He is also a co-creator and co-host of the industry-leading Custom Apparel Startups podcast since 2015. Right now, you need to search for Custom Apparel Startups Podcast if you want to start a t-shirt company, if you want to start an apparel line, or have any interest, or are currently doing it, you must subscribe to his show, Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, right now. He's also an author of online courses on pay-per-click advertising, local SEO, and the custom t-shirt business specifically. OwnerMarketingSchool.com. OwnerMarketingSchool.com is his most recent project, the perfect outlet for his passion for teaching entrepreneurs and business owners how to have better businesses by learning more about marketing. You can go to CustomApparelStartups.com to learn more about that. Go to Coldesi, C-O-L-D-E-S-I.com, Coldesi.com, and OwnerMarketingSchool.com. Connect with him on LinkedIn. Connect with him on Facebook. I'm telling you right now, I have not seen anyone doing exactly what he's doing and creating, launching, and blowing it out with your marketing in the custom t-shirt business. I've not seen anybody put out the type of content that this man is putting out and creating. So connect with him. So, Mark, my first question for you, man, and it's the most important question we're going to ask on the show, is why? What is your why for what you do?
Well, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this since we first started talking about me coming on the podcast, and there's some layers here. I mean, I started in marketing in general as a way to connect with my oldest daughter, who was an early travel blogger in the early 2000s, and traveled the world by herself. And I really, you know, we didn't have that much to talk about. I wasn't naturally connected with her, and she started a travel blog and she started doing SEO on the road. And that actually kind of that need to connect with her got me into the marketing business from a sales career. And then once I was there and I started working with Coldesi, I started seeing a struggle and failure around me, and it was intensely frustrating. I had it's this idea that people have these dreams that they want to achieve. You know, there's a section of our customers that are like you, Sean, that already have mm-hmm. something going, and they want to plug custom apparel into it, the custom t-shirt business into it. And then there are people who have maybe a full-time job that they're not happy with, or, you know, they're getting ready to retire and they're looking for something to fill in their days and add to their income. And they were struggling so much, not because they couldn't learn the equipment or the software, or they didn't have great ideas or couldn't use graphics, is because they couldn't make the phone ring. And that was stopping people from being successful. You know, I had some tragic conversations with people that I'll talk about a little bit, just, you know, that try so hard. And the reason that they fail is because they don't know how to sell a shirt. They don't know how to get online. They don't know the tools that are probably pretty easy for you and I right now and are pretty common in the online marketing world, you know, that are completely foreign to somebody that might be, you know, working a 9-to-5 job in insurance or accounting, or, you know, is a steel worker or works in an auto parts store that wants to be creative and they want to break out of their 9-to-5 job. They want to add some income to their family, but they're not going to make it because they have all of the ideas up to how to sell a shirt. And I was crushed when I had those conversations I mentioned, and really have spent my time and we started the podcast in order to fill that need, in order to plug that hole in people's business so more people end up being successful.
And I love that because I spent all of April researching. Do I use Printful? Do I use, you know, is it through Shopify? Am I going to go on Amazon? Do I do an affiliate? How do I do this? I mean, I was literally taking notes and drawing a map. Like, okay, step one. Yeah. Like, I was literally drawing. And before I start any, this is me starting any business. I start at customer journey. I'm walking around. I'm wherever, right? So I'm here. How do I get to the next? Like, how do I get to the sale? So on one side of the paper, I write customer. On the other side, I put sale. And then I run through all these steps. I'm like, what do I got to do? Obviously marketing and these different things. And so I started writing down. I'm like, well, how do they find the shirt? like, where are they at? Is it on Google? Is it on Facebook? Is it on social media itself? Where do I do? And so I went through the whole customer journey, and I spent all of April learning about how to, actually really in March too. And then I spent like all of April researching, doing all that. And then I built the website. I built, after I decided what I was going to do, I built the website, built Shopify, built Printful, and then launched May 1st.
Okay.
Every single day, Saturday, Sunday, every single day, reading, researching, watching videos, consuming your show,
yeah,
and how to do this. And it took me a solid month to implement everything I had learned.
Yeah. You're smarter than the average bear, Sean. I mean, like, you're already, you know Shopify and Printful, and you'll do the research into how to sell a product on Amazon and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the top 30% of the people who come to us. You
wow.
know, it's really,
it seems common nature to me though.
We're podcasters, so we're already kind of deep into the technology world. You know, we've got a marketing bent, so, you know, you keep your eyes mm-hmm. open. I've been in sales my whole life, so I live and breathe. You know, I write articles in a way that Yoast recognizes is great for the keywords that I write. You know what I mean? Like, I can't write anything else anymore.
Right.
And so it's that kind of thing for us, but, man, you'd be surprised at the number of people out there that just, you know, they bought a Cricut from a cutter, craft cutter from Michaels. And they make T-shirts, and they really love it, and they want to do it for everybody, but they literally don't spend any time on a computer every day. You know, they've got a Facebook account, but it's not done very well. There's so many basics that we take for granted.
Oh, God.
And that's why, that's why we just recorded our 100th episode of the Custom Apparel Startups podcast.
It's so good. I listened to it today.
And they're all an hour. So good. It's 100 hours worth of conversations about, you know what, this is a website. Should you have a website or not? I don't know. What's your market? What's your niche market for your T-shirt?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say it's everybody. You know, all these conversations that we would have, you know, we would assume 90% if just you and I were talking about it. Like mm-hmm. you immediately went to, I'm going to sell online. Here are the most popular ways to sell online. Let me figure the best way to sell T-shirts through these channels,
right?
And, you know, you've got a thought about advertising, about the design, about the market that you want to sell to. It's built into your podcast. But, you know, when we get somebody that is, you know, they're from the music business in Atlanta or Nashville, and they've got a small band, and they want to do their own merchandise. They want to do merch shirts. You know, that's where they start. They could tell me a lot about how to set up a live gig, but nothing about how to set up a good Facebook page or LinkedIn profile.
Oh my gosh.
And you've got to go to so many places to learn this stuff that we found incredible value in, you know. So the company that I work for, Cold Essie, you know, it's a family business. Scott and his dad have been in the business literally for 50 years.
Wow.
And they put over 30,000 people into business. So, you know, we know what that journey is like, both for people that are on the ball and just need tweaked a little bit to be successful here, to what it's like for somebody to start from scratch, not know what they're doing, and go through that painful process of learning how to make a shirt. What's a good graphic? What's good pricing? Where do I buy? You know, all of these basic questions. I mean, we got good at walking through that, because there's a lot of places to find information on equipment.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of places to find information on what to do once you buy it.
Right. Yeah. 100%. What's a pet peeve that you have? If you could pick one, it's like, this is the one that just, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
The first thing that comes to mind is that people are afraid to charge what they're worth or what their garment or the end result is worth. It drives me crazy that people are embarrassed to ask for money. And this is what I mean, right? So since a lot of people are just getting into the business and maybe they sell to friends and family first.
Sure.
What they do is they try to figure out how little they can charge these people.
Mm.
You know, it cost me $5 for the shirt and it cost me $3 to make it. That's $8. I'll sell it to them for $10 or $11 and I'll make $3.
Oh,
and that's
geez.
Because they don't value their time at all.
Right.
They don't do market analysis to see what shirts sell for, or they assume things like, I live in a small town. There's people don't have a lot of money here. So I charge mm-hmm. as little as I can to get by.
Sure.
And my response is usually, how many of them just spent $30 at McDonald's?
Wow.
And you're scrunting to charge $12 a t-shirt when you should be charging $20 or $25. The shirt's going to last longer than the Happy Meals.
Right. Yeah.
So it's that conversation about price that, you know, people constantly undervalue themselves and what they do. And let me tell you, it's a quick way to go out of business.
Yep, 100%. I agree. Mine is, I go to somebody's Facebook profile. They've got their Instagram on that. Now, let me frame this up. Let me frame this up for you.
Yeah.
I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. I have an Instagram account. My Instagram account is on my Facebook, but my LinkedIn is not, or my LinkedIn account link is broken on my Facebook. Do you know how infuriating that is to go to somebody's Facebook and see that? You're an entrepreneur, bro. Like you're telling me that you are a B2B.
Yeah.
But your link to the B2B social media profile is broken.
Yeah.
But you're B2B. it's infuriating,
man. It's awful, but I do have to say I have a lot of sympathy for those guys. It drives me nuts, but I have sympathy because I was talking to another marketer buddy of mine today who did a Facebook Live, and I was like, you know, dude, you did like it was you didn't start your content for 3 minutes, you apologized 9 times.
Oh,
you did this stuff, and like when I pointed out with him, you know, he was like, of course, I know all this, you know, and he can look at my stuff and find 10 things. I mean, I've got, I don't know, 17 websites and 1,100 videos, and I guarantee you're going to look through there and there's going to be tons of mistakes.
Yeah.
But I can't spell. That's my not superpower is spelling.
Right. What, you know, I get, yeah, I can see that because like I'll watch back my video and it never happens, but I'll watch back my video and then all of a sudden I'll be like, did I just say, as a speaker? Like,
yeah.
what the hell just happened? And I gotta rewind it. I'm like, wait, oh my, I just said, I was like, oh. Dang it.
Yeah.
I know I'm not supposed to do it, and I hardly ever do. And then I did it. I'm like, ah, crap. Let's just edit that out. Like, you know. But I'm sitting here like, and I guess it would be more frustrating, I guess, if you're a marketer and it's not marketed correctly, because other marketers then start judging you, which is worse, because they're like some career fields, I guess you'd call it career fields, some industries like eat their own and they're like, come on, you're making us look bad, you know? So I look at somebody's Facebook profile. I'm like, where's your website? Where's your Instagram? Where's your LinkedIn?
Yeah.
And why is it not on your homepage of your Facebook profile so that I can click as soon as I see it? All I see is I do these things. Here's my friends, here's my photos, and then content. I'm like, dude, there's tons of real estate. Like, if you look at mine, I've got everything I've ever done, all my jobs.
Tell me the truth, Sean. You're looking at my Facebook profile right now as you talk, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm actually in a podcast group promoting the show right now, actually, as a matter of fact.
There you go, okay.
I'm in Promote Your Internet Radio Show or Podcast Facebook group, and I'm actually, like, posting in there to come listen to the show right now.
That's great. That's great. I love it.
But yeah, I'm like, dude, you got to do these things. You're missing out on real estate. It's another way for people to connect with you, because if I'm an Instagram buff, like I'm like, oh, Instagram TV, baby, Instagram story ads, you know, like Gary Vee. And I click on Mark's profile. I'm like, where's his Instagram? Screw this, dude. I'm out. Like, I'm not going to connect with you because maybe Facebook sucks and I don't like Facebook. Yeah. Or maybe I'm like right now, I'm huge on LinkedIn. I've been on LinkedIn since day one. Since day one, I was like, I'm B2B since day – I'm talking like 2009, 2008. I'm like on LinkedIn day one.
When it was hard. When it was really
– when it was hard. And you had like five friends because nobody wanted to friend you. It was like stupid. So I'm sitting here like connecting with other military people that I'm working with and whatever. And I'm huge. I've always been huge on LinkedIn, and most of my business comes from LinkedIn. So I love, and I hang out on LinkedIn. So if I go to somebody's Facebook and I'm like, where's your LinkedIn, bro? Like, I want to connect with you. Like, if I hit the about me little link about me or see more about Mark, and I see, he's got a brother and a cousin, and then it's still no LinkedIn. I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe I don't want to connect. You know what I'm saying? So first thing I did when we got connected, man, I was like, LinkedIn, connect, let's do it. You know, a lot of my conversations take place there.
I will tell you that I've been so impressed with what LinkedIn has done in the past 12, 18 months. It's just been terrific.
Yeah.
I'll also mention though that you know, so the space that I'm in right now, my small business direct customers, because the owner marketing school thing, you know, I've got a few clients and developing some courses. Those people are not on LinkedIn because they don't know enough. And the cold Etsy customers, the ones that are starting a custom apparel business, aren't on LinkedIn because they're mostly B2B. I mean, they're mostly business to consumer.
B2C. Yeah.
Yeah. And the demographic skews older, so most of them are on Facebook. And the weird thing is how those demographics change depending on the life you're living and and your customer base.
Yeah, well, definitely. And so I am – so my shirt company, right, would be considered B2C, but I've marketed it to B2B in a sense that I'm an empowerment and affirmation clothing line for entrepreneurs and speakers to showcase their brand.
Yeah.
So I want to appeal – so I'm on LinkedIn. I'm putting the content. I'm like, hey, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a speaker, like you need your own clothing. Like you need your own – like American Eagle is not an entrepreneur brand. Don't live Reebok's core values.
Right.
Like you need your stuff. And so I want to appeal to that crowd, which hangs out on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook. And so that's been my marketing.
You've got a voice and a niche market. I mean, there's no two better like that. Those two things will forgive a multitude of sins in the marketing world. Not that you made any, but you know, if you've got a voice and you've got the right niche market. I did this custom t-shirt course about a year and a half ago. It's on the Custom Apparel Startups website. And you know, the first 20% of it is this is how you pick your niche. And this is where you go and look for and make sure there's an actual market for your niche. You know, because you've got a built-in market. You know that there's people that are consuming your book and they're coming to your events and they've seen you on TED. And so you've got the personality play in a built-in market. But, you know, I get so many people that will talk to me and say, hey, I've got a great t-shirt idea. It's a new brand. And my brand is, you know, I don't know, whiteboard. Mm-hmm. And I've got a logo. And that's the basis for their business. And the question is, who are you going to sell it to? And the answer is, well, everybody. And that doesn't happen. You're not Walmart.
Right.
You don't have 1,000 things. You've got one thing, you know,
right.
Who's the avatar? Who's the person that you're trying to sell to? Not the bus full of people, not the city, you know, who's the person. And a lot of good stuff falls from that.
You described the reason why 90% of all entrepreneurs or small businesses, I guess 80%, whatever it is, 80, 90% fail in the first year or give up because they have a fancy logo. They've created this amazing website and called themselves ABC Company, but they haven't decided on their niche market or the category that they're going to play in or the industry that they're going to disrupt.
Yeah.
They've said, I've got, you know, XYJ logo. This guy created this amazing logo for company AB, but you don't have a market, you don't have a niche, and you don't have a category or an industry that you're going to disrupt. And so they try to market to everybody and they fail.
You know, it's just, it's very, you know, the other side of that is, you know, our fellow podcasters, or at least the ones that have a great idea and they spent $3,000 on a mic and a recording setup.
Oh God.
And they've got the new computer in their office.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the end of year one and they haven't recorded a podcast yet.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So, I know a few of those.
It's the other side of the coin. You know, it's the attention. That's why it's so important for me that, you know, people that are starting in any small business, really, people that are starting in any small business, you know, that's why it's important for me to get involved. That's why I'm motivated to get involved, is because, you know, you're going to write a big check up front and then that thing is going to sit in a box in the corner and gather dust because you don't know what to do next.
Right.
And that, and that do next is the difference between that, the 90% that fail. We've had people that bought $20,000 worth of equipment 2 years ago. It's still in the crate.
Oh yeah.
It's nutty.
Yep.
It's nutty.
Yep, absolutely. You know what and my goal isn't to make a multi-million dollar, like I don't want to be like Teespring or Custom Ink or like any of that stuff. You know, I'm not looking to be FUBU or like whatever. I actually really, honestly, I created the brand because, and I named it Live Your Brand, only because I was tired of going to Walmart or going to the mall or going somewhere. And like, I want a shirt that represents me. I want to find a slogan that, oh, I like that. Like nobody goes to the store and goes, I'm going to buy a Carolina Panthers jersey. Are you a fan? Nope. Just like the cat.
Like, right.
They wear the sports jersey because it's who they are. It's their city. They're representing. The problem is we're not representing ourselves. Even in our marketing doesn't represent who we are. And I just got in a conversation with somebody about this.
I've got the saddest story for you.
Okay,
so,
let's hear it.
We used to do these. We would do an open house, and Cole Bessie sells like 11 different great brands of equipment and different ways to make custom T-shirts and embroidery, all that stuff. So we bring in an open house. And I would do, you know, little seminars, mini seminars on marketing your business. And this was 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here are a bunch of people who have already invested in equipment. All of them are already in business. And I would give $20 to any of them that were actually wearing something with their company name on it.
Wow.
I never gave away 20 bucks.
Oh my gosh.
These people are in the business. They're sitting right next to the machine that makes custom apparel and they never wear their business.
I take it back.
That's my pet peeve. I want my pet peeve.
Oh, there you go.
Now I'm
there
getting angry just thinking about it. Thanks for that.
I'm getting irritated. Jeez. Oh, that's great. So as a, let's say that you're a shirt company or whatever, right?
Yep.
Why wouldn't you be a B2B? Like, why wouldn't you want to go to summer camps and make friends with summer camp counselors or whatever? Because guess what they need? Shirts for the kids. Why wouldn't you partner with schools and people who do bulk orders or the military or like what? Like, there's so, I will tell you what, you want to know a racket, okay? I'm going to give you a racket. You want to make $1 million? Get into the basic military training t-shirt game. Because when I was a drill instructor for basic training, we did flight t-shirts. And what we would do is we would give them to the creator, and they would come to the squadron like, it's time for flight t-shirt, guys. We need your ideas. And, you know, then they had an illustrator, and they had this, and they had this, and they had like, that was huge money. And these trainees are paying $10 to $20 a shirt for something that they designed that the building next door is selling. And you figure you've got a flight of 50. And on any given Friday, and every single Friday, people graduate basic training. So you've got 50 per flight, got about 16 flights. Now, I'm not good at math, but that's over like 700 people that are graduating every Friday. And guess what they bought 2 weeks ago? A flight t-shirt. 700 people a week are buying these shirts.
Yeah.
A week.
That. So,
and then you
so
got
50, are,
then you got 52 weeks. So now you do the math.
there are huge opportunities like that out there, and there are, you know, I'll divide up the market of people like you that that in maybe invest in equipment or, you know, figure out another way to produce custom apparel. Is that, you know, most of them start at part time. So a good percentage of our customers are literal startups. They're starting from zero.
Yep.
And they're not in the B2B world. So the way they approach it is you know, let's say John and Mary are a couple that they both have full-time jobs in North Carolina, and they've got two daughters that are in cheer and a son that plays football.
Okay.
So the way it usually works is they end up spending $25 a shirt for mom and dad and little sister, and then outfitting the cheerleader and getting the jerseys and stuff for the football guy. So they're blowing all kinds of cash on apparel.
Yep.
And one of them pops up and says, you know what? I should be doing that. I could do that better. So their B2B is kind of – it's a hometown B2B. It's word of mouth B2B. It's not, you know, I'm knocking on the door for Coca-Cola and I'm trying to get that account. Mm-hmm. That's what I think of when I think of B2B. Not I sell uniform T-shirts to local hair salons. I sell funny T-shirts online. You know, I sell these things. And the B2B space is much more competitive. Like the volume of shirts that, you know, your training classes are buying is pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's some sought after business. So not many people in that startup phase are going to be successful doing that.
100%.
Right. They're going to be successful doing kind of their own local version of, you know, Teespring kind of thing.
Oh, in small towns. Cause I graduated high school from Yale High School in Yale, Michigan, which is a town of like 2,000 or 3,000 people. Like, I grew up in Detroit, but then my sophomore, junior year, we moved away. The city was getting bad or whatever. And I was like, what in the crap is this? And it's like everybody knows everybody because it's a generational thing. Like, I'm going to school with the kids whose parents own the local, you know, IGA or the local, like, grocery store. You know, and everybody knows everybody who knows everybody. So nobody's safe. Everybody knows the gossip. Like, it's insane, those small towns. I could see somebody blowing it out there for cheerleading because sports is huge out there. That's the only thing they have going on. It's baseball, football, cheerleading, you know, basketball. Like, it's everything. You play sports, you know, especially in a farming community like I was in.
Yeah.
And, I can so see a small town mom, like, just crushing out and cranking out these shirts and, you know, all that stuff. Like, totally see that.
Listen, the bling business is huge for that small town mom.
Mm-hmm.
So doing a rhinestone or a spangled t-shirt, I mean, they bang out some good cash doing that.
Yeah, definitely. So the whole point of the show is talking about the transformation and we're touching on it and I love it.
Yeah.
I want to know about your transformation. So what was a deep transformational moment in your life which put you on the path to what you're doing today?
So that I've been thinking out quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of different answers.
Okay.
For this business world that we're talking about, for the marketing and the mission that I'm on now for small business owners to not lose their shirts, not kill their dreams because they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That started, I had a conversation. We had a customer years ago that had spent, he's in one of those small towns. He got laid off from a manufacturing job and he saw an opportunity in the custom t-shirt business. And he leased a printer from us and the payments were about $250 a month. So for most people that are getting into business, that's perfectly reasonable. Well, okay. he called me personally to ask me for help because they were about to come get the printer. It was getting repossessed.
Wow.
And it was getting, and like, so this is a guy that, like, he worked in a bakery part-time and he did this and he's in a small town and he bought the machine and he could use it, but he wasn't being successful and he couldn't figure out why he couldn't make the payments when on paper, it's all very easy. And I spent 45 minutes on the phone with this guy talking about, like, okay, the demographics. And I looked up the businesses in his area and the schools in his area. And he was doing a lot of things right. And then we got to the point where I can't figure out what's going wrong. And I forgot the fundamental question. How much are you charging? And it was $8 for a shirt.
And holy smokes.
This guy was failing because he had one competitor in a town that was a big screen printer that would do a couple of hundred shirts of a single design for $8 a shirt, and he thought he had to price everything that way. And I went through the math step by step with him, and he was losing $2 every time he sold a shirt for 10 bucks, and he was not paying himself to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was literally nothing I could do for him.
Wow.
Because it was too late.
Right.
And, man, that kept me up. Because if I had had that conversation with him when he first got the machine, or if he would have been listening to the podcast, pick an episode. You know, no. he wouldn't have failed. You know, he would have never gotten rich. Right. But
yeah.
He didn't have the business tools. He couldn't do the math that would make him even have the opportunity to be successful. And that hurt to hear that. And shortly after that, just, you know, maybe 6 months afterwards, I've got a good friend here in Tampa. She's an amazing designer. She's got a kind of a high-end craft-related business, and she's very talented. And she came to me because she'd gotten a website done, and she got all of her products loaded up, and, you know, she'd gone through the whole thing, and she was losing money every month, and she couldn't figure out why, and she didn't know what she was doing wrong. So I took a look, and I took a look at the website that she paid $8,000 or $9,000 for, that was terrible. And then I took a look at the contract that she signed with a social media company. I'm going to go back to that on another pet peeve rant. But you know, we on a social media company and looked at what they were doing. And I felt terrible because if I would have had a 30-minute conversation with her, she would have saved $10,000 on the entire process and never signed a contract for thousands of dollars a month to get somebody to make posts on Facebook that weren't good. So, you know, it's like, you know, you were talking about, Sean, when you look around and you know what to do. Like, you look at a Facebook profile and you know what it should be and you know what to do.
Yep.
So it's very simple. And the things that are obvious to you and I, someone that's not in the marketing business or has never done this kind of thing, just doesn't see. And them not being able to see it and not even knowing that that's what they should be looking at, you know, can make their business fail. It's remarkable to me. And so I find it unconscionable that anybody that knows wouldn't try to communicate that to people that don't. Because it doesn't cost us anything to do that.
Right.
And that's why, you know, me and my partner, Mark Vila, on the Custom Apparel Startups podcast, you know, it's 100 hours of just us trying to figure out what can we tell somebody so they'll be successful. So their entrepreneurial dreams will come true in the custom apparel business. But you can listen to any of that podcast. It doesn't matter what business you're in, it applies. And that's why I started the Owner Marketing School website and, you know, doing like a small amount of consulting and working on courses is because I want to help more people not fail. I hate to say it like that, but it's what it is. You know, I want people that have great ideas, great products, or even marginal ideas and marginal products to find their audience and make a go of it.
Yep. I like that. It's the little things that I found that make that move the needle the most. You wouldn't think everybody wants this big revolutionary idea. It's this one thing and over and over, and what do people say? Here's what you'll hear, right? When something amazing is about to happen, you'll hear, I know it sounds like common sense, but listen, I know we should be doing this every day, but listen, like it's the little thing. That's why if you ever hear announcers on any sport, when they become successful at that at bat or that play was amazing, got the touchdown, whatever it is, right? They always say it's the fundamentals. The fundamental throwing or the fundamental, like his at bat was amazing. The fundamental swing, like it's the basic fundamentals. Yeah. And then they'll say, if you're failing, go back to the fundamentals.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
the little things.
Yeah. I'll give you a great example of that. I had a company come to me that some friend of mine just bought a company and is trying to turn it around. And he's like, well, what are the first things that we have to look at? What do we have to do? So I picked up the phone and I called the phone number for the company and the answering service was terrible. You know, they were just like, they were unconcerned. They were abrupt. They didn't ask me for any additional information and they hung up.
Mm.
And that's a fundamental that we could have gone through the whole thing with, oh yeah, you want the beautiful website with the, you know, with the 3D spinning video on the in the hero image, and you know, you want me to set up Instagram ads, and you want to do videos, and you want to do all this stuff. Hey, tell you what, let's call your company and see how you guys answer the phone.
Yep.
And go from there.
That's huge. Actually, as a matter of fact, you would say that first impressions are everything, and when somebody answers a phone. I mean, the marketing video has to be the first 5 seconds has to be amazing. Otherwise, people turn it off. The way that you answer the phone has to be warm and inviting to keep people there. Mm-hmm. When you first meet somebody, you have to, you know, smell good and, you know, give yourself a great appearance. And I mean, they say don't judge people, but what do we always do? Immediately cast judgment. In the first 5 seconds, immediately cast judgment.
Absolutely.
On everything.
Especially, like, I will it makes me cringe when I'll get a customer that says, oh, I just learned how to design my own website. And that's just dry. I mean, because I know what's coming. And I'm like, listen, look, I just want to be clear. I will straight up tell you that your baby is ugly.
Yeah.
So if you want my opinion on your website, I'll give it to you. You know, but I guarantee you're not going to be happy.
Right. So I did my first website and it was atrocious. Like my first website was like www.wix.superlongurl. com forward slash another long URL after that. Like, yeah, it was, I was like, domaining, like, what's domaining? Like, why do I need to do that? Like, I have a website, because no one's going to go to www.wix.somehugelongwebsiteurl.com/some long URL.
Not on purpose.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? And your SEO is going to suck. Or my favorite one is like, come check out my landing page, www.weebly.superlong.com/. I'm like, oh, Weebly, huh? There's a winner.
See, you're this is a very advanced conversation. For most people, I'm explaining what a landing page is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot, like, once you're out of, seriously, once you're out of this marketing orbit that we live in,
right?
The cliff drops off fast. I mean,
it really
does. And there's almost nowhere you can look where you don't see something that you can improve.
Oh, that's true.
So what you do is you look for the stuff that there's a bunch of stuff that you can. What on this page is going to kill your business?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't have the LinkedIn link on your Facebook profile.
Yeah,
that's
to me that kills you.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it's you're not even in the game. That's just my opinion. So be like, well, if your website, if your social media handles, if you have a Facebook group, put it on there.
Yeah.
Like, put all of your websites, put all of your Facebook group, your, you know, not maybe not your page, but like your Instagram, your LinkedIn, if you have a Snap, if you have a YouTube, if you have like if you look at my homepage, it's like former this, current founder, current this. Like, it has every single job I've ever had.
Yeah.
Followed by from this place, born in this place. Graduated from this particular high school, because people find me like, hey man, we went to high school together. I'm like, I have no idea who you are. Well, I found you because I was searching people from the high school. Like, it's on there. And then they found out, they're like, dude, that's awesome what you're doing. I thought about doing it myself. Boom, got a client.
Right. Yeah.
Because you already have a rapport with the people you either went to high school with or college. You already have a rapport with them.
So, and that's why that, most of our customers' first customers are in their neighborhood. It's the people at the high school that their kids go to.
Yep. Yep.
It's absolutely. It's their place of business. It's their friends and family.
Yep. So
plus, all
as
these
we
people will be much more much more forgiving if you don't spell something correctly. So that's good.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. So as we start to wrap up the show, give us the ways that you elevate the world around you.
Okay. So I think the maximum elevation that I provide is in those first conversations that I have with people that need help, that need marketing help. So it is the idea that I can meet somebody at the store. I can notice somebody's, you know, in business. I can go into a restaurant, or I can go get my hair cut. And if the owner's there, I can have that conversation with them that will make them look at their business differently. So to realize that the way that people see you and where they see it and how you speak to them and how you dress and what your advertising says, that all these things are, they're important and they're an opportunity for success. And not just that, is that you don't need to hire a marketing company or to hire a professional to come in and do all these things for you. They're very accessible. So I try to provide access to the information that people need to be successful in business themselves. Pay-per-click advertising, you can do. Filling out a Facebook profile properly, you can do. You can write your own emails. You can learn how to edit a website. You can learn how to write a blog post. You can learn how to structure a multimedia campaign. These things are not rocket science. They're just different than what most business people are doing every day, because they don't understand anything about it. They're willing to write a check for the to the first person or the first company that comes along and says, I can get you 10,000 more likes on Facebook. And it's my mission to stop that.
My favorite one is when you're on LinkedIn and you get the broken English message about how they're so good at podcast subscribers and getting you on iTunes. That's my favorite one. I get you iTunes. I get you subscribers. Come do this now. I'm like, what?
I keep a spiral binder I have for about 20 years full of business ideas. And on one of the early pages, back when SEO was first a thing, one of my ideas was, I just want to cold call companies in China and India and fix everything they email to people in the United States. That was my business idea.
Great.
And I still do that. If I get an email, a prospecting email from somebody that really doesn't do it right, I'll fix it and email it back to them. Say, please do this next time.
Yeah. Perfect. All right, man, let's do a shameless plug. You can plug your websites, programs, products, services, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do after this episode. Shamelessly plug. Go.
Got it. So there are three things that I would like you to do, places that I would like you to go. And the first one is, if you have any interest, inkling, or a hidden passion for the custom apparel business, I want you to go to coldesi.com, coldesi.com, and look at an array of amazing, imagination-inspiring products that do beautiful things to T-shirts. Then I want you to go to the customapparelstartups.com website. You can also get there by typing in caspodcast.com. I'd like you to start at episode one and listen to the following 100 hours of podcast episodes in series without a break. Then I would like you to visit ownermarketingschool.com. That's my most recent project. And take a look at the little video that I did. Read about my efforts in creating education for small businesses and working with a few clients at a time, teaching business owners how to do their own marketing.
I am literally not going to sleep for the next 4 days. You literally told someone to listen to it without a break for 100 hours.
I did.
So I'm not good at math, but I'm thinking that's like 4 days, 24 hours, 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 5, minus the 4 each. It's like 4 days straight. They're just up listening.
Listen, I didn't mention the YouTube videos. There are more than 1,100 of those. So you guys got off easy by only listening to the 100 hours of podcast.
100 hours. Go do it now.
There you go.
Awesome, man. Hey, I know we could dive in so much deeper, but I love having the conversation with you. You have so much to offer, so much to give. We'd have to do another 100 hours of content just to fit it all in. But instead of doing that, you could just go and listen to his podcast and subscribe to it wherever you're comfortable listening to shows. Mark, it's been an absolute honor, an absolute privilege, and I'd love to continue on with this relationship because I know at some point you might be someone I come to and be like, okay, I've got some money to spend. Help me on the marketing and help me on the T-shirt company. And what am I doing? Like, what do I got to do for this? So
awesome. Yeah.
I love
I've
what you're doing.
I've had a great time, Sean. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. If anything resonated with you, the listener, please connect with Mark. He's on LinkedIn. He's on Facebook. And if there's one takeaway that we're going to take away from the show is get your stuff in order. Pick out the pet peeves that Mark and I was talking about and fix it. Or you're not going to like what me and Mark have to say. So with that, thank you for your time spent with us. Thank you, Mark. And my message for you is always live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.